four flights of stairs. It's slow.
Not easy.
What question? Okay, so we're holding the middle of the Alochas of Hilchas Yichud. We left off last time with a question, which, by the way, it's always a question. And I say I look it up, it doesn't mean I have to wait a week later. I'll come next time. I'm around here every day. We're talking about the din of when you have a little girl or a little boy, when you can start. So a lot of people don't realize that it starts with a little girl from age 3. And that means to say that from the age that she's Roy Labia, so at that point is Eser V'Yichud. And the converse, if a girl is babysitter for a boy that's age 9, is Roy Labia. Again, yeah. And the idea is that even though you don't expect a frum girl to start up with a little boy or vice versa, but that is technically when there's an Eser V'Yichud. And if we're talking about Pnuya, we said it's Barbonon. When they're married, well, obviously it's a Pnuya over here, but it's still Eser Rabbonon. The question was, who's being over the Eser? So it's pretty poshut that if I'm there with a little girl that's 3 years old, I'm being over the Eser, because she's a Ktan, she's a pot of merit. If it was a little girl that's 3 years old and a little boy that's 9 years old, there's no Eser. If someone is a Gadol there with a little girl, or a Gdoila, big girl, with a little boy, that's where it'll be. The Gadol is obviously responsible, and the little kid is not, but obviously it's the responsibility of parents that if you take a babysitter, you have to figure out beforehand what you can do, what you can't do. And of course you have the old Eitzah, the Eitzah of if you have Pesach, Pesuch, Rosh Hashanah, that means to say, if you can sit next to a window, like a Moshe, if I sit next to the window over here and accomplish anything, no one sees me. But if there's a window that's visible outside Rosh Hashanah, then that helps. If you're on the fourth floor, no one's going to see you also, so you didn't gain much. But if you're on the ground floor, a second floor, a place where people can see you, so then it takes away the problem of Yichud. If it's the middle of the night, no one's walking around over there, you didn't accomplish anything. because it's got to be visible to people outside. And I think I mentioned what Yashua told me, that if you're inside an apartment building, so then as long as you're at a place or at a time where every 10-15 minutes somebody goes by, that's okay. Now the door has to be open. There is a day that says if the door is locked, it's a problem. But if it's closed and not locked, it's not a problem. Now, it's written by the Chuvas HaRashba. Today, people do not do that. Today, people will not walk into your house because the door is not locked. If you'll see someone trying to open your door, it's locked, you're going to jump on him, right? It's not a normal thing to do. So because of that, the Chof HaSodom, Moshe Feinstein, they say that it's not going to work if the door is closed and not locked. It has to be mamash ajar open. The chazish is dafka make. The chazish is very interesting kulos on yichud. But the ma'isa, the place can say not to rely on the fact that it's unlocked, because no one walks into a house that's unlocked. So the eitz is, you should tell one of your neighbors, I have right now a yichud situation, and I want you to know that the door is open. Feel free to walk in. Or, it's locked, but here's the key. Some places you can't leave the door unlocked. You have to have it locked with a key. So here's the key. And whenever I have a shine like that in Yichud, I just had one a few days ago, someone called me up. I always tell them, tell the person that has the key or the person that's coming in, don't just tell them that he can come in. Tell him he should come in. Come in at least once. Why? Because otherwise they don't take it seriously. So that's my chumra by Yichud, because like I said, they don't take it seriously otherwise. But technically, as long as the man and the woman both are aware of the fact that someone can walk in wherever he wants, that takes away the problem of Yichud. And again, you have to use your seichel. We mentioned last time, Yichud, there's what's osur and what is common sense. Even if something is mutter technically, you have to think, is this a smart thing to do? So the marshal, let's say you have sometimes a young woman, a kaidel younger man's wife, she's 25 years old, and someone's going to come fix the washing machine. Who's going to fix the washing machine? Either some Arab or some fryer guy. There's no heter shabayim over here, because even though we have the heter by Yichud, it's called Baalo Be'ir. Baalo Be'ir means to say the husband's in town. Okay? Baalo Be'ir does not work if somebody's a porutz. What's the definition of a porutz? Porutz doesn't mean to say that he's a sex criminal or something like that, and he was convicted in court. According to Chazanish, Chazanish held that if he has a television in his house, listen to this, if you have a television in his house, or if you have a irreligious chinuch, you have a dinner of porutz. That's Chazanish held. And as weird as it sounds, if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Because by these people, all these things are mutter anyway. There's no bounds. And legally, in places like America, a lot of things are 100% mutter. as long as it was not done by force or something like that. There's a lot of things there that we look at as aser, by them as mutter. A kaponim, there is no heter if somebody is a porutz, and if it means every person has a frayin chinuch, then you have a problem. So what do you do if your wife has to be home and the guy's coming to fix the washing machine? Big problem. Because even though it's baal be'ir, it's not going to work. Now, baal be'ir, some places can say there's a problem if he knows that you're going to be with a certain person. Because then she's not embarrassed to be with him. So just like she's not embarrassed to be with the doctor, the dentist, because her husband knows about it, that she does belong there, that she has an appointment, but then, if this guy's in the room there, so she's not embarrassed because he came to fix the washing machine. So you have a problem. Now, here would not be sufficient to tell somebody to feel free to walk in whenever you want, because the seichel says that she's asking for trouble. There's a lot of prusta people around, there's no one else there, and he's allowed to walk in there, he's let in. Who knows what the guy's going to do? Shami Racham.
Why is it in the case of the babysitter, he's also let in?
Again?
In the case of the babysitter, he's also let in.
And the babysitter, usually when you have a babysitter and you have little boys, you're not afraid she's going to start with little boys. It's just there's a technical problem that Torah said it's also. But there's no
what if it's not a babysitter? What if it's an office, for example, which is for whatever reason has to behind closed doors out
of the room? So the guy's exactly.
So the key shouldn't help, though. It's supposed to be together. The key shouldn't help.
Again, you have a muscle. We have times where a woman, I have a certain woman in my family, she works in Harvard Swim. Certain times, she's a Ru'eh Cheshbon accountant. Certain times, she has to be there to work at nights. Problem is, at nights, there's only one or two other men over there. There's a very serious problem of Yichud. Because there's very few people around over there. You can always lack a room, and who knows what goes on over there. So it's a big problem. Now, here it's not going to help. We're going to tell you. Tell another fry guy, you can walk in, you can accomplish anything. You can tell her husband, I'm here, but he knows you're there. Once you're there, and not only that, if it's somebody that she works with all the time, that's a problem with Levi Gaspar. It makes it even more chomer. That's the problem people have, that people think that if it's somebody that I know well, or he's from the family, then there's more reason to make it. It's the exact opposite. By Yichud, if it's Levi Gaspar, someone you're not embarrassed to be there, i.e. brother-in-law, cousin, mother-in-law, a fellow worker, all these people, it's leaving you very hamish with them. You have no problem being in the same room with them, because you're always like that. That's when this becomes more chomer. So there is a serious problem, and some point in time, you can't work in such places. It's a big problem. You have to ask a shayla. These shaylas are not so posh. It's not always an eitzah. Or, well, like I said last time, you're coming back in a car from the airport. A single girl coming back in a car from the airport, I can give you 50 a tear. Is it a smart thing to do? Very dumb thing to do. Because you're asking for trouble. So you always have to think in Yichud, is it a smart thing to do and asking for trouble, even if it's technically mutter. In certain cases, shasat chak, where a person's mother-in-law is here right now because his wife gave birth and she's in the hospital, you have to think of what the eitzahs are. So he's not afraid his mother is going to start up with him, but there is a technical problem. So in that case, you're going to have to get someone that has free rights to walk into the room, and that's going to take care of the problem. Where else do you have problems of Yichud that we can think of right now? Oh, you have sometimes we have an older person, a sick person in the house. Now the Maaseh Shulchan Aruch says that if a person, there is an Isser of Yichud, even if the person is an older person. I had that problem. When I was first year as a Bocher, my mother had an older aunt, she was like 95, in the Tanya, and her husband was in some hospital for years and years, and he was out of it. And I would go, she wanted me to stay overnight, so I told her I'm not allowed to. She was barely religious. I knew from years that I could not eat with her. I wanted to know once, you know, she first came from America, and I wanted to know if she keeps trumas and maestras and whatnot. How do you ask a person such a question? Do you keep these alochas? I knew that her, she's officially dati, and her kids, one he does go with the yarmulke, one doesn't go with the yarmulke. So I asked her, what does she do about Trumas and Maestras? Never heard the name. It sounded like it asked about Mars or some farm plant, but she had no idea what Trumas and Maestras was. It's Shemitah. Kenka is a Pam B'Shevashanim. She remembered something about Shemitah. So if she didn't know what Trumas and Maestras is, then obviously she doesn't take it up. So I couldn't eat there. And I told her then that I can't stay overnight. I told her there's a problem with Yichud. Now she's from a firm family and everything. But she said, no, there's no shash. I'm an old lady. There's no problem whatsoever. No, we'll explain to her that the Torah still says there's an Esed Arayis of Yichud because you're an Eshesish. It's sometimes hard to explain, but that's not halacha. We have cases where a person has to be with an older person, a person that's impotent, older person. So technically, there are reasons to make over there. The place can say that if it's a question of yichud rabbanon, that could be a heter. But it's a question of yichud raisa, like an eish asish, that's not going to work. So again, you have to find some way that someone else can come in. What else comes in the nageil maisa? If you have baal be'ir, when the husband is around, so some places can say that baal be'ir is only going to work in the case where the husband is around, and an example, let's say the husband goes away every day, he goes to work between 9 to 5, okay, or he goes to Kaila from a place, 9 to 1, whatever. So some place can say, since during those hours he's for sure not going to come back, there is an Isser of Yichud. The Chazanish said, no, the Chazanish said that a woman has a natural pachet from her husband, even if officially he's not going to come home in these hours, so Lamaisa, we still have that Kula, and the Chazanish was Makel.
What does Mi'ir, what does the Mi'ir mean?
Be'ir? That's a very hard question to answer. The Chazanish is quoted as saying that Ramat Gan is not considered the same city as Bnei Brak. You know, you're familiar with geography, you know where Ramat Gan is?
Yes.
It's like a suburb of Bnei Brak. Now, does that mean to say, because in those days it took a certain amount of time to get there, a horse and buggy, doesn't mean to say because it has a different name, it's a different city? Very not clear. Very, very not clear. And then you have to ask the question, what's the name of Yerushalayim, Ramot? It's very not clear in the Poskim what exactly does it mean the same city or not. And more often than not, the situation is that the husband is not going to come home in the middle of the day. So the heter bali year goes down the drain. Again, there is a chazanish that's mekel, but it's not kedai to look for kulas in these things. And according to most Poskim, since the husband is not going to come home during those hours, it's worth nothing. I'll give you doim lezeh. You have a case where people, there's a big mikshel they have today in America, a lot of places, and I've told this to people in my kol. People have a shiksu working in the house. Okay? Now, when a shiksu is working in the house, first of all, if the shiksu is in the house and the parents are away, she went shopping, he went to work. Someone has to work, she should have money to go shopping, right? That works. Okay, so she went to shop, he went to work. Now there's a bachur, one of the kids is in the house. And a shiksu comes to clean up the place, right? But empty yichud. They say, we know her, she comes all the time, she's not going to stop it, but say it. That's a yichud. That's right, it's a yichud with a shiksu. And people don't think. Next problem is.
What about the mother's going to come home?
Huh?
The mother's going to come home.
So you got to know. Is she going to walk in any minute? That's one thing. But if he knows that she goes shopping, when she takes the credit card, she doesn't go for 8 minutes. She goes for 3 hours. She goes for tachlis, right? She goes and with a bunch of bags, she wants to come back with something in those bags, right? You have to spend some money today, right?
Does that mean,
huh?
Does that mean the yichud applies only in the house or like also like on the property?
On the property is not a problem, it's outside.
Like
unless you'll say it's a closed place where no one can get in, something like that. But in the house itself, if the door is closed downstairs, you can be in different rooms, it's not a problem. There's a certain.
You leave the door open, you go? The front door? Like you leave the front
if
door
the front door,
open,
door is open and you could see what's going on, yes. But if the front door is open and you're upstairs in another room, it doesn't help at all. I was pointing out when you have these shiksas in the house, there's a lot of interesting problems that people are unaware of. Rav Ozner used to always talk about these things. First of all, very often the shiks addresses like she was taught to dress. What's with sneis? What's with the fact there's men in the house from people? To tell her to start going according to the sneis, according to the takanon of the sneis and Beis Yaakov and Neibrak is probably not going to work. And very often people are afraid to tell them what to do because then they're just not going to come. But it's a big problem. It's a big problem. And they have another problem. When the woman who's working the shiks is in the house and there's no one else there, you have problems with the food over there. It's Boser, Shinas, Alman, Ayin. It could be that all this food, any piece of meat that's not double wrapped, you're not going to be able to eat anymore. And it's going to trade up all the cane in the house. People think, I'm not just telling you a chash that she might use your fellatio fork and have hot cheese with it. I'm not saying that. There's a halacha mufreshes that if there's a guy in the house and there's no one else there, the kale become Boser. The kuda. Even if she didn't do anything. But there is such a halacha. And the oilam goylam is very ignorant about this. From oilam also, not just the fryer, the balchula, which don't know. A big problem. Moshe has a small tshuva in Igros Moshe, and there the first chet is in Zion. Rabbi Moshe writes that if a person did this, was over, did not know that you're allowed to have a goy in the house by herself, so then you can be simech on the taz that if you wait 24 hours, you're familiar with food, when you use a kli, dishes or pots, whatever, after 24 hours, the taste is dead, stale. You're still not allowed to eat from that pot after 24 hours because of gzer drabonim, because you might make a mistake, it's not really 24 hours. But technically, after 24 hours, the time is still. So Moshe writes down that if a person did not know the din, and there was a goy in the house, and there was no one else there, so he says you should wait 24 hours and not use the dishes, whatever, and then you can make them. He says that's if you didn't know, show you the first time. But if you tell them that next time, hold the camera to be cautious. And the plates out the window. You can't catch the plates.
What if the guys know not to touch your stuff? She's not to touch your kalium or your food or anything like that.
We can't rely on her in the morning.
Why? What are we scared about?
She's scared she's going to lose her job.
She's not stupid. Yeah, but she's also scared she's going to go hungry. She wants to eat.
What are
she
we
wants
scared?
To eat a scrambled egg. She's going to check if it's a milk fork or a flesh fork. You think so? I don't think so.
We're scared that she's going to mix up flesh and milk eggs?
We're scared that she's going to pull out. Either she's going to cook in your fleishig pat, she's going to cook a scrambled egg with cheese, right? She'll chafe up your pats, right? Or she could take a nice piece, she doesn't want to chas v'shalom steal your food. She's going to come with a nice piece of bacon or ham, and she's going to cook it in your nice fleishig pat. Not in the milchig pat, it's meat, right? She'll do it in the fleishig pat. So chafe your pat. Wash it up very nicely, which is her job. You're not going to think about it. And then for the rest of your life, you can chafe your kale. These are halachas for us. The halachas, now I'm not telling my chashash that you might do this. The halachas are halachas. You have a goy in the house and trace up the cable.
Because I can't eat my house.
Is the oilum goy? What's that?
I can't eat my house because I think we've had a clean lady.
Okay. So you have to find out what the circumstances are. It's not pasha. It's not pasha. A lot of people, I've told this to people, one of my siblings came, I made a bar mitzvah 20 years ago, one of my siblings came, and he had, at the time he had 2 or 3 kids. What did he do with the kids? He came with his wife. Where are the 2 or 3 kids? He left them home with the sheiks. Left them home with the sheiks, like, the whole idea sounded weird to me. How can you leave little kids with the shiksa? It means she's going to be responsible to feed them, and she's going to take care of them. Who knows what she's going to do with them? What's she going to feed them? She's going to be macro and bosser. Well, little kids, like kids at 2 years old, 3 years old. I was mama shocked. He told me, no, she's very, very hamish, you know, maybe Greek Orthodox or something like that. Sure. So I told him, it's Osir al Pidin. He was very, mapitone, there's no such thing. I showed him, it's open din in Shulchan Aruch. Open sif in Shulchan Aruch. Gufit ches. I showed Ramoshe's tshuva. Ramoshe is like the American Paisik, he's the big Makel, so if you see Ramoshe, the reference is very convincing. And point blank, that it's also the all the things become also. And he told me back afterwards, he found out, he said his shiksa has been by him, and before that by his sister, and then by his mother-in-law. She's been in the family for many years. Brazilian, that makes it any better, Brazilian. Mm-hmm. And she's very neman because my sibling, this person, his wife, a sister-in-law, she's also from Brazil. Great, you know, Lanzman. But when he came back, he found out that while he was gone, so they invited all the South American goyim that are working in the neighbor over there, and in his garden in the back, they're having a party, they're dancing, shiksas and goyim and whatnot, with food and whatnot. What do you think they cooked all the food? In his kitchen. With whose pats? He went to Avis or Hertz to rent pats. The pats is in the kitchen.
What about the fact that if you could go home at any time when the guy is there? So
you don't.
Not there.
You don't.
Well, let's say it's
if you tell your shiksa you have to be here for a week because I'm going to Israel for a week.
No, not in that case. Like, she comes once a week, so leave for an hour. But she doesn't. You don't tell her you're leaving. You don't tell her you're coming back.
So that might work. It's brought down that if you can come back any minute. It's like a lady that goes shopping in the neighborhood. And sometimes she goes to Makot for 10 minutes, and sometimes for 2 hours. That's okay because she can come back any minute. But if a lady has a job at an office and you know she works 9 to 1. So even though it might happen one day, she's nauseous, she doesn't feel, she'll come back. But the goy is not going to take the nechesh. The goy knows from 9 to 1, she's not there. And the same thing here also. If someone's nichnas v'yotze, it takes care of the problems of yichud, it takes care of the problems of the pants, takes care of the problem of food. But if you know that the person goes away bekvias from 9 to 1, all these attainments go down the drain. And in America, these people are mazals and these dinim like nothing. A big problem. They have in the kitchens in the yeshiva. And a certain yeshiva, I'm not going to say the name over here, a certain yeshiva here in Yerushalayim, where the bochum were told that no one's allowed to go into the kitchen in the afternoon unless you get rishus. Okay, so who is going in the kitchen? So they have a shvatz over there, or an Arab, Muhammad, that's working, washing the dishes. And he was told not to let anybody in for these hours. That's great, but what happens to all the food around the kelim? So at the time I spoke to one of the people in charge, he said, Rabbi Yasha said it's okay. Rabbi Yasha said it's okay. So I went to Rabbi Yasha. Rabbi Yasha says he wants me to bring the person that said that his name. I brought it there, and Yashi says, I said that? Well, I didn't hear from you, I heard it from Krishani, Krishlishi, whatever. Yashi says, I don't know who the Krishani are, the Krishlishi, it's Shekhar Mamash, it's offered in the Shulchan Aruch. And there's whole shaz over there, what you do all the food in the kitchen, it's not pashut. You have a lot of yeshivas have these problems, people don't know. These are halachas in the Shulchan Aruch, and no one takes care of them, it comes after.
What if you give your cleanulated lunch every time she comes so she won't be hungry?
That's very nice of you. One day she'll make you a plaque in your house that was very nice you gave her lunch, but it doesn't mean to say that when you're not there, she might have decided to have a little extra snack. Or she might decide to have a coffee milk. The normal thing that a woman, after she had a nice lunch from you that you left her, she might want a coffee? So she's not going to take, she's going to be makbid and take the milk cup and the milk spoon, you sure? I'm not so sure.
If they know, why wouldn't they?
Why should they bother?
No.
They think you're an idiot that you have separate cups for milk and for meat. Why should she be an idiot? Because
you know that's going to, they don't want to upset the boss. They know that you're makbid.
The boss is not going to find out. She washes the dishes anyway.
What's the big deal for her to go, what's a tircha to go to get a milk and a cup? She knows that it's not worth a chance. The boss
not a big deal at all. And she could also have power of coffee rich also, but why should she be stupid? She thinks you're doing something stupid. Why should she do something stupid? She's not Jewish.
She's not worth the risk for her that you're going to catch her.
No, she's not going to risk unless there's cameras or whatever. No one's going to catch her.
Cameras, what happens?
You know what they found recently? A very interesting thing. It's a very common thing today. The government made this brilliant discovery in America over here that instead of them paying for people who are older people and going to nursing homes and going to hospitals and Medicare and Medicaid and all insurance, whatever, the best thing is you pay some Filipino or some Schwarzer or some Arab. He comes to the house. That saves a lot of money. It's a lot cheaper to have a Filipino person one-on-one with an old lady than to have that same old lady in the hospital with different bills and nurses and the doctor. It's a lot cheaper. So it became very common today that from people have these so-called aides. Now lately, people start putting in television cameras just to see video cameras, hidden video cameras. You know what they find out. I mean, the government found out that a lot of people hit the older people. People, you know, that some of them can't talk, some of them are vegetables, right? So they smack them up, you know. no derchas or nothing. But from people, a certain person, a Talmud of mine, here in Yerushalayim, told me his grandmother became senile, which is not a geshmaka thing, so they got her some shiksa. So afterwards, they put in a video camera. Kids, they were serving a mamish bosser and cholov, and they were cooking everything together. And they were mamish hefker, mamish like a goyish house. And there was no way in the world anyone's going to catch her. This old lady's going to tell on her. She doesn't know what's going on altogether. So they found out all the kalim are trait, and you can't walk into the house. What?
She's senile.
So I got not responsible for her.
She's not a bar das, beseda, but no one wants to feed this from her whole life to feed her the trefus nevelus.
Sure.
That's for sure. And what about the parents, the kids that want to come to the house and they want to eat something? All the kids become trefus. They suck. The mama suck. It's a big problem. These push open halachas and people don't know anything about them. Okay, so also we have to keep in mind, when we talk about numbers, when you're talking about a man with a woman, when it comes to yichud, you have to have three women, and at night, four. That's a shas of hak. The other way around, when you're having one woman with two men is okay, and by night it's three men, three motor.
What about the story in the Gemara with the 10 men that took out a lady?
Okay, so there's also idea of prutzim. If someone's a porutz, and again, porutz today could be any fry person, so then it's not going to help even if you have 10 people. It's not going to help Baal Be'ir. All the different things don't help when you have prutzim. That's poshut. Now, who these 10 lovely people were that they got their names in the Gemara, I don't know. But obviously, they weren't the most erlich people. You have to know who you're dealing with. There's also an interesting din. There's an interesting din when you have a chosin kala to get married. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but in case it's a chupas nida, so it means to say that they're osi to each other. And it is a very tempting situation. And he's waiting the whole time to get married, and boop, she's piercing nida. So the loch then is that you have to have two shermen, a little boy and a little girl. You have to have two shermen. There's only place you have to have two shermen. Not gishmak, but it happens. Agav, talking about weddings, what is the shear of yichud when you have the edim that are supposed to watch the chosen kala in the yichud room? So it's basically totally in the dais that it comes to when the isra of yichud. The same question. Just that over there is a mitzvah to make yichud, that's the kenyan. And in general, when you're with a woman in a house alone, there's an isra. But it's totally zebezeh. So in both cases, you have to go to churma. When it comes to the regular isser of yichud, so the place can say, even though there is a day that the chashash is chibuk anishik, which means hugging, kissing, touching, the mice of the place were not chashash, that they paskin, that's only the sheer person can have bia, and that's the reason why the marshal elevator, technically the place can say that it's mutter to go in elevator, a man and a woman is no problem. Here again, you gotta use your brains. If it's from people that are there, so then, since technically it's mutter, you can go in the elevator, go marshal, I have my gemach in Shefa. Shefa is in the next to Bell's, next to Tanz over there. So Shefa, they have elevators. The whole building is 95% from people. I don't think any woman has to think twice of going in the elevator the same time as a man, because everybody's from over there. No one's starting up with anybody. And technically, it's mutter, because the whole elevator, from the time to the bottom to the top, we're talking about like 40 seconds. Not big. But if you're talking about a building in the middle of Tel Aviv or something like that, or you go to a building in New York, and you have fried people are going, who knows what a person is going to do over there? And a lot of these elevators, you can actually close the door. And you can open down also, you can do all different things, and there's mice to show you also. So again, technically it's mutter, but if it's someone who you're afraid of, then you should have little brains and not do it. Yeah, there are some people who are mapped with everything called elevator with a woman also. You'll find sometimes when you go into an elevator as a firm woman there, she's gonna run out. Okay. Either she's scared of you, look, you'd be very vicious, whatever, I don't know. Or she was taught wrong, or she wants to be firm, which is fine. If she wants to be firm, that's fine. But technically, it is mutter. Again, back to the chasana, being that the most mekel shita of yichud is up to 7 minutes, so therefore here we gotta go to chumra by chasana. If you're an eid yichud, you should wait there 7 minutes. On the other hand, when it comes to something else, you have to be in a room, whatever, you should machmer from 5 minutes. You shouldn't do it. And from people, it's interesting, Rabbeinu Yoina writes in Sefer Yira that a erlich person will not get into a situation of yichud, even if it's baal be'ir and pesach v'shuras p'such l'shus aram. You should try to avoid these shinas altogether. If you can, great. But like I said, there are certain times where you get into tough situations. You have to know what is technically mutter and what's not technically mutter. What else do we have to talk about? Any questions?
Can you have multiple men in yichud, like two or three with a woman?
Yes. By men, two men and one woman is mutter. Again, not prutzim. And at night, three men. If the woman's a prutzim woman, it's still going to be mutter, but I would keep my distance if you can. If you can. You have the question also of sitting on a bus. I don't know if we discussed this last time. Is there an issue to sit on the bus next to a woman? Now here again, there's a lot of people when a woman sits down, especially in the summer when she's dressed, I don't know if dressed is the right word, but mechslishlish l'viyo l'shamanu, that some people, you know, jump up like, you know, they were hit by the plague or something like that. Moshe Feinstein says, technically, that you're allowed to sit down, not you don't have to get up, you're allowed to sit down next to a woman. Why should it be like that?
So what if they come from an hour flights?
One second. First of all, we know today that a lot of these stories are sheker gas. Like the last time when they said that the flight was delayed because of from people, it turned out they were sheker gas.
Listen, we've all seen people make
yes. So put it this way: technically speaking, there is no isser of sitting next to a woman, but you can't touch her. It's also usser big doy the big da, which means to say my coat touching her coat is also usser rabbanon, right? And of course, it's got to be in a way that you have no hearer or whatever, and you also want to make a chil Hashem. If the person sees that this young girl that's half-dressed is sitting next to him, he knows it'd be nechshel b'aveira, thinking who knows what, so then he doesn't want to sit next to her. So when you're on a plane, you have to realize there's not much they can do for you. They want it, they can, but not always they want it. It's a pain in the neck for them to switch the seats, and they have to know you have to get the kosher meal here and that's there. It is a problem. And technically, the person bought a seat and you bought a seat. Technically, you have no right to tell
them. If it's technically mutter, where does the...
So, the proper thing, if you can, first thing is, you put something on your side. It could be a pocketbook, it could be a folder, it could be a safe, or something. And this way, you're not going to touch her. Okay? What?
Armrest, not enough?
If there is an armrest in between, that's fine.
Maybe you can fall asleep.
But let's say, exactly. Sometimes she can fall asleep on you, you can fall asleep on her. It could sometimes make problems. If you could avoid l'chatchila, for sure. If you're getting in a bus, I would not recommend you sit down next to a shiksa or someone dressed like a shiksa, right? But at the same time, it's technically, you know what Shlomo Zalman used to do? It's brought down the Sefer Maariv Shabbos. When somebody sat down, the woman sat down, we not get up right away. Shlomo Zalman learned. I remember seeing a boy waiting at bus stops. It was like the most amazing thing. In the Gedolei Ador, and he was waiting on the corner next to the Shire to take a bus. And people offered him rides, he wouldn't go. I personally offered to take him Friday from his house to the mikveh, and I wanted to take advantage, like ask him Shire and whatnot. He did not want to be serviced by people. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman, if a woman sat down, he would not get up right away. He would wait till the next stop, then he would get up casually as if he's getting up for the stop, in order not to embarrass the woman. Rosh Hashanah Zalman, okay? There are some people that are very firm about it. So you can do it. You have to make a cheshbon. What's with Chil Hashem? What's the fact you might embarrass the person? Okay, so there was a Rav Ron Gunachovsky, he was old and godly. So some woman wanted to sit down next to him. So he told her that if it was a crisped in it, if you look in the Chumash, Rashi, Tchelis. So Rashi says Tchelis is a thing called crisped in. Okay? No fried person knows a crisped in. So when the woman sat down, he told her, he says, lady, I have no problem you sitting over here. My mama, it's a very big cover for me, but you should know that I have crisped in. And I've had it already for a few weeks. So she didn't know what she thought, it was like some contagious macha. She jumped up and ran away from it. He has crisped in. Crisped in. Shlomo Zalman wasn't so ingenious in these things. Shlomo Zalman pushed away to the next bus stop, and then he got up, and he got off. that's basically the smart thing to do. I'm not Rosh Hashanah, and Boch Hashanah, I don't have Chris with him, but Maisa, if I'm on a bus and a woman sits down, I learned from this Maisa not to get up right away. You make a scene. You usually make a scene that's a Chil Hashem. Why do it? Certainly, what some people do is where they'll put their hand over there, or they'll put their, no, you can't sit her. What right do you have to do that? First, they'll tell you it's illegal. They can arrest you. They signed on the bus today. First, the firma tried making separate things. Today, it's gone. They have right now, it's a law that you can't restrict somebody from going on the bus and sitting wherever he wants. Civil rights. Was it America, Rosa Parks, the Sheikhs and the Shmarza?
Yeah.
She said every person can sit whether you're black and white. Well, in this country, all races, colors, men, somebody wants to sit, you can't stop. They can arrest you. But make a simple common sense chesed. Do I have a right? The woman paid for, Friday woman got on the bus. Do I have a right to tell her not to sit down there? I'm from. First of all, I don't know if she knows that Rabbi Yishai's heter. Maybe sure it's mutter also. She probably doesn't. But Lamaisa, what right do I have to tell her not to sit there? She paid for it. I have a problem. I want to be from about it. Whether it's a locha, it's not a locha. So I shouldn't sit there, but I can't tell her not to sit there.
If someone's mamish not dressed, to come to hear her guaranteed.
Okay, so then don't sit there.
No, you sit there first, she sits down. Then even so, you should.
So in that case, if you know you can't prevent it, which is understandable, she's half dressed. So then in that case, just get up. What a different scene. You're right. I would wait, if you can't, because you think you'll be over Echanami, but if you could wait and not make a scene out of it, I would wait a little bit as it looks like you're going to have the next stop, and then move. I don't know if that's what she's on, but I would get up and just not make, but to make a scene is a Chil Hashem, and the fact that to not let her sit there, she's not going to sit there. Whether you can stay there or not, that's your decision. But she definitely is allowed to sit there. Now, a frum woman is not going to do it, but you have to push it. Use your common sense, and if you use your common sense, you can do it, it's not a Chil Hashem.
In the plain way, you sit between two women, you have another issue, no?
Yes and no. Most Paiskim hold that the Isser of going between two women is only walking between, and it's not a problem of sitting between. Now, if a person is a Kamal Day hearer, that's going to be awesome. But technically, there's two things that are brought down. There's a Gemara in Hayyus Dafid Gimel, that it's Kosher L'Sheikh, if you get your learning. And there's a Gemara in Nida that says that has to do with Ruach Ra. The Ruach Ra issue today is not Shaykh. The sheikh problem is a problem.
So if you sit in a fight between two women, when you
no,
land,
no,
so the
most Paiskim say that sitting in between is not what the Gemara answered. The Gemara answered only walking between. But Yom HaZilber Oz Nidbar, I think the only one that says there's a problem. Most Paiskim say it's not a problem.
Because you have people on the plane, if there's one woman next to them, they'll sit. If there's in the middle, then they don't make problems.
Maybe because they walk between two women, they forgot
maybe because they want to get up. There's no way to not tap if they want to get up. Maybe that's a trap.
I've had this happen before. You don't have to tap her.
No, we never come in, kind of jump over her.
I understand it's not geschmack.
No, see, if it's one, you can always go the other way. It's not as much of a problem.
Depends where you're sitting.
So I always ask for an aisle seat. You can't say I don't want to sit next to a woman. It's not going to work. It's illegal for them to do it.
I know.
See, ask for an aisle seat. An aisle seat whenever Mrs. Hutzenkotz wants to get out, so you get up. That's what I do. You have to push. It's a chach race on that. You have to think in advance. But to make a show, the story about making the plane wait for it was a little shaker gas. They admitted afterwards a lie, the whole thing. It was a lie. But these things do happen. I've seen it happen also. Now, if you have a whole group of people, they should say before, we want to sit together, X, Y, and Z, and Z, and Z. But if a person gets in such a situation, think twice. Think what kind of Chil Hashem you're going to make. Chil Hashem, there's no kapar on that. So now, if the pshat was they want to force you to do something that's osur, then you have to do what you have to do. That's the first thing in Shulchan Aruch. Don't worry about the malin. Chil Hashem is not, if I said that I don't want to touch a woman, or I want to go to a woman's bathroom or something like that, but I mean that's osur mamish, that's not Chil Hashem. That's a mistake people make. Chil Hashem means to say, if you're doing something which is wrong, and it makes a big bezoyin, that's Chil Hashem. But if I'm doing something which is right, because I'm a chuyiv to do something, or it's osur me to do something, that's not Chil Hashem. Over here, since technically there is no isser to sit next to her, so you want to be firm about it, that's great, but you can't make a Chil Hashem. So you have to think of a way, you want to be erlich about it, you're afraid to come to your room or whatever, think of a way how you can do it. If you can ask nicely, you want a different seat, there you see a different seat, great. But it's going to make a whole big ruckus, since technically it's mutter, think of a way, either put a pack of book or a magazine or something like that, and just look the other way. I don't sell it now because people should use it for that purpose, but if that's what you have, that's fine. What kind of subject should we do next week? Any interesting subject? You'll think.
Chemer and Gershon?
Again? Chemer and Gershon. About opening letters or old Chemer and Gershon?
No, marrying two wives, hit the mirror on him.
Okay.
All kinds of
interesting. Say that.
Yeah.
Okay. Say that.